This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Brian Geisinger, our man, Mr. Basketball at BGeis_Bird. I'm just calling you that from now on because people follow you on Twitter. They'll be inundated with all the information that is important. I mean, I read basically everything you write, so I pretend that it's mine. All right, let's get to it. I don't think it's about RJ Davis or Armando Bacot being inefficient, not making enough shots. I thought it was about Carolina's defense not being what it needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, this was a top 10 unit all season that had been pretty good, but as we've discussed, like, was sort of better than the sum of its parts, I think, just in terms of like everyone being really bought in and executing the scheme at a high level. I mean, I know Bacot was all defense in the ACC, but let's be real, he's not a top five defender in the ACC.
Right.
Like, they needed someone from UNC to be all defense, and he became the guy, like, sort of by default. He's turned into a very good, like, college defensive center, but this thing was about scheme and them buying into it, and then you run into a machine like Alabama that's playing with such incredible pace. They've got two really good veteran guard, shot makers with Mark Sears and Aaron Estrada, who hit huge shots. So even without, Latrell Wrightsell last night, they still got all of this incredible, shooting and offensive creation. And then Grant Nelson, he's kind of an experience as a player. He has not shot it really well this season.
No.
But he was great in his role defensively last night, getting to roam when playing off of Cadeau and Trimble. And that's actually one of the things I did want to bring up. But also, like, his ability to go at switches in the pick and roll, his face-up game was good. He hit a couple of threes.
Yep.
Like, he was a matchup problem for them last night. And again, a guy that, similar skill set wise with Filipowski, they've done a nice job on Flip this year for the most part, but, he's a guy that has had his moments against UNC and is a tough matchup piece. But for me, this really came down to not just like Bama's pace and the shot making, which was obviously ridiculous. And then certainly you can pick out a handful of plays from down the stretch, the Jalen Withers three, the Bacot missed dunk, the RJ having a tough game, obviously. But for me, it really was just like this team, we talked about it. I brought it up literally last week when we were talking about UNC, like the Elliott Cadeau, Seth Trimble factor, two really good players, right?
Yeah.
Two downhill drivers, and Cadeau is has incredible passing. I thought he threw a couple of really nice passes last night, but all season we've seen teams like dial up a little bit more how they were going to like play off of Cadeau.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, boom, there's Nate Oates, who, is mathematically inclined, takes a lot of his stuff from the NBA.
Right.
He's going to take his rim protector and sink him in the paint and have him, in air quotes, guard Cadeau,
right.
Guard Trimble. Right. And then just be able to, double team any Bacot post touch, block shots from behind, take away cutting lanes.
Yeah.
And I just thought that, UNC in the second half, Hubert really went to some lineups. He hasn't played much this season with Paxton Wojcik because he was worried about the spacing concerns with Trimble and Elliott Cadeau.
Yeah, that's what jumped out to a lot of people. Like, why are they, why is Paxton Wojcik getting all of this bird at the end of the game? Where are the guys we normally play? And I understand the mindset, but I also know what Hubert was trying to do. He was trying to get Alabama's defense to honor other players. My only problem, first of all, the Jalen Withers, I mean, that was an ill-advised three. There's just no way to get around it. I understand he made a big layup that right out of the timeout to cut the 5-point lead to three. I mean, I'm there. But with, 18 on the shot clock?
Hey, it's Adam Gold, and I'm in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Is it ever too soon to seek out you and your expertise?
really, there's no too soon. It's time to get serious. So if you're 50 or over, we call it the financial red zone. And that's when really it's time for you to take control of your money and make sure you have a firm on your side that's a fiduciary planning firm, which means they take your side at all times. Now, we'll do this for the next 10 of you who call. This is a $1,000 value, but I'm going to waive my planning fee to make sure you get your total retirement plan and you get on the right path for retirement.
Call 888-843-0013, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
To take that right there is just, that's not, that's, like, if he had so much room, he could have driven it, and that would have been a much better decision. Even if he doesn't make the shot. At least it's a much better decision. Maybe you get to the free throw line. Maybe the defense collapse. You find somebody else. And then other than that, I felt like their entire offensive approach the last 2 minutes was just get the ball to R.J. Davis. And let him. Where was everybody? Where was the creativity to get Bacot the ball? Maybe create and kick it out to Ryan or even Ingram. It was all about letting R.J. Davis work.
Yeah, and Ingram was awesome last night. Harrison Ingram was phenomenal, and I would have liked more of him down the stretch for UNC. And look, it was especially tough, too, because Alabama's – I mean, I know RJ was able to draw some fouls, and the Alabama, the big men screen defenders were being very physical with him, and that was how he was able to get contact a couple of times. But, like, that was part of why, like, I thought UNC needed to get some more, like, downhill juice on the court, like Cadeau or Trimble. Alabama was just like teeing off on him, guarding pick and roll. They were hedging the first screen, and then if they would flip the screen, they were then in drop or they were in switch. But it was that hedge. They were just taking away the initial turn every time. I kind of thought they would try to go, through Bacot in the post a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I understand some of the spacing concerns, but I thought the fact that I thought that was sort of like the point of having Wojcik out there is that Alabama has to be at least in quasi traditional defensive coverages here. This isn't like an auto double. There's not just a roaming free safety, seven-footer help defender in the lane at all times. And I just thought going through him, going through Ingram, that probably would have been a little bit better. I think Hubert Davis is a phenomenal coach. I really think he's quite good. But his second down the stretch, especially the second half, the lineups were a little, I get it, but I thought there should have been some adjustments there. And I thought some of the play calling where it was they're trying to either go floppy action or high pick and roll with Davis. And I just thought I just didn't think it was getting quite enough traction. And despite all of that, they still almost won the game. It was still a coin toss, despite all of these things.
They had the ball with 90 seconds left. They had the ball and a one-point lead, right?
Yeah.
It was there for them. So when they lost because Bacot and Davis combined for this or Davis went 0 for 9. Nah, that ain't why they lost, because they almost won in spite of it. You're a tennis fan. I keep using it in these terms. They lost the moments. They lost the big points. They had a chance to break serve, didn't do it. And then if you don't break Djokovic, you ain't going to beat him. To me, that's why they lost the game. It sucks, because I do think this team was good enough to win a title. I would have loved to have seen Seth on the court, because Trimble to me was their best perimeter defender. He and Cormac Ryan. And they needed just one more guy to stop Mark Spears. That drive that cut the 3-point lead to one just looked too easy to me.
The reason why I wanted Trimble too was because I was thinking, if you go high pick and roll with Davis, and if Alabama's hedging that, then the defense is in rotation. So all RJ needs to do is whip a pass to Trimble in the slot or on the wing. And he's such a great downhill driver, slasher. Yeah. He can just go downhill against a tilted defense and try to get to the rim. That to me was sort of the one piece of another piece of low hanging fruit that they just never got to. And I would have liked to have seen Trimble in that capacity last night.
All right. Let's see if we can hit the two games tonight real quick. State and Marquette is first. What is the key, do you think, for the Wolfpack?
Yeah, Marquette's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. This is a really good team. Offensively, this is a well-tuned, pick-and-roll machine. They play fast. They run a lot of, early offense, ball screen, pistol action into an empty court. A lot of, guard-guard screening actions. try to get a switch with Kolek, and Kolek goes into an empty corner ball screen with Oso Igudero, who, you know, these are all like, you know, NBA, you know, prospects.
Right.
Cam Jones is an excellent secondary ball handler. They use him as a guard, as a screener a lot, but he can come off screens himself and shoot. He can create on his own. And so it's going to be tough to figure out like how you want to handle all of that ball screen action. Like I assume Mo Diarra will start out on Igudero as he sort of has on a lot of the sort of like more mobile, talented, you know, front court screeners and initiators in, you know, for throughout the season. But Marquette's power forward, David Joplin, is good. And like, he handles the ball, he can stretch, he can shoot. And like, so maybe you don't want DJ Burns guarding him, but if Burns is not guarding him, then he's going to be probably guarding, Igudero, and that means him having to navigate a bunch of pick and roll.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance like State, if they wanted to, could get really creative. I don't think they'll do this, but they could take a page out of Alabama's playbook last night and put DJ Burns on Stevie Mitchell, who's a like sub 30%, you know, 3-point shooter at the guard in the guard room. I don't think they'll do that, but there's a chance. I think there's also a chance that like Middlebrooks and Diarra lineups are really important for State defensively.
Yeah.
Or Diarra or Middlebrooks in a four guard lineup, which we saw them sort of out of desperation at the end against Oakland go to when those two guys, Diarra and Middlebrooks, had fouled out. And then offensively, like, I don't know how much Marquette you've seen this season, but you've definitely watched enough Shaka teams play over the years. Like, they're incredibly athletic. They press some, they switch a lot defensively. I think sometimes they actually like almost auto switch too much stuff. They sometimes switch 1-5 ball screen. Sometimes Igudero will hedge. They pretty much have been like an automatic post double team this year. So we'll see what that looks like, because like DJ Burns has been very good passing double teams this season. But Marquette's got so many athletes flying around, and it's so chaotic that, you know, we'll see if Burns gets those double teams, like what the passes look like. I think that's a huge swing part of this. State's such a low turnover team offensively. We've talked about this goal. That's been like a hallmark of them all season, but especially down the stretch here. And Marquette's defense is all about turning you up and creating turnovers and creating fast break and creating these, you know, secondary situations. So I think the way State handles the pressure, the way they handle the switch, if the post double teams come, what does the movement look like? What are the cuts? What do Burns' passes look like? Because they need that offensively. And I'm just fascinated to see like how this looks from a matchup standpoint. I think State has some buttons it can push and swing this thing in their favor, but it's going to be really hard against a very good Marquette team.
All right, let's try to spend 60 seconds if we can. I don't know how we do that. Duke Houston, is it as simple as Duke just absolutely has to deal with Houston's physicality and their aggression defensively?
Yeah, and Houston is an incredibly physical and aggressive defense. They blitz ball screens. You know, this is not like UNC where they've got Armando Bacot dropped into the paint. Their screen defenders, their 4-5, those guys are going to be above the level of the screen. And you'll also notice this too, their guard defenders, the on-ball guys like Jamal Shedd, they're going to look to like deflect every pass when the point guard tries to get it out of his hands when there's a double team and a blitz on the ball screens. That's how they get a lot of turnovers that way. So like, this is going to be interesting to see how Kyle Filipowski can handle things either on pick and pops or on the short roll. I think Duke's empty corner ball screens with McCain and Flip or Roach and Flip or Proctor and Flip are a huge deal. And I think Mark Mitchell's got to be big time as like a cutter and like finish physically, because Houston's really, really tough, but you can get threes on them. They give up a lot of threes because of so much, all the pressure, and you can get to the rim against them, but like, they've got shot blockers there, even though they're not a very tall team, but you just got to be willing to battle and finish through contact. And so it's going to be tough for Duke, but they've definitely got some tools in the shed that they can use here.
Brian Geisinger, my man, Mr. Basketball at BGeis_Bird. See, Bob Uecker was Mr. Baseball, and you have a great sense of humor, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
Our Mr. Basketball. All right, sir. Enjoy the games. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Yep, I'll see you guys just a bit outside.
Oh, that's very nice. Well done. Well done. Way to finish with a flourish.